There's a few minutes left. Maybe you have some questions or comments?
What's the way to think of the karmic seed that we carry? You know, when you say it's not physical and we think of mind, is it connected? How is it connected to that mind stream that goes?
Okay. So if a karmic seed isn't physical and it isn't mental, how is it connected to the mind stream that goes from one life to the other? Democracy. Is democracy physical? Is it mental? It's not a consciousness. It's not a physical thing. Is there a continuity of democracy in our society? Is there a continuity from generation to generation? Yeah? We say that the karmic seeds, you know, are carried by the mere I. But then the mere I is not something solid and findable either. Yeah? What makes these things hard to understand is we are so captivated by our senses, you know, that we think something only exists if I can see, hear, smell, taste, or touch it. But there's a lot of things that exist that are not physical in nature and yet have continuities and have causes and have results. Yeah?
Maybe this is related. I guess I always associated memory with the brain and not with the mind. And so how memories can go from one life to another.
Yeah. Okay, so you always associated memory with the brain and not with the mind, but between one life and another, there's a change of brains. Yeah. We finally got that brain transplant. That's assuming that we get a better rebirth, you know. So then, you know, here's the same thing, that there's some kind of seeds, you know, carrying that memory that are not physical, and they're not conscious, you know, but they have continuities that go along with the mere I.
The physical brain can lead to dementia. How would that affect the mind stream?
Okay, so some brain deterioration can lead to dementia. That's because the brain and the mind have some relationship. Yeah, I mean, we can see that. That's a very good example. Something happens to the brain, it affects the mind. Other times we see if the mind is very happy, then the body heals more quickly. So it also goes the other way, that the mind affects the brain. You know, so they are related. But then they each do have their own continuity. So even if there's dementia in old age, still, you know, there's seeds planted on the mind that continue.
Can it affect your rebirth?
Can the dementia affect your rebirth? You know, it's hard to say how, you know, what effect dementia has. They usually say for spiritual practitioners, it's very important to try and generate a very virtuous thought at the time of death. Because if we have a thought of loving kindness, if we have a thought of faith in the Buddha, Dharma, Sangha, some kind of positive thought, then that can fertilize some good karmic seed to ripen. Now, can people who have dementia have positive thoughts? I would think so. You know, depending upon, you know, the level of dementia. Sometimes reminding people of something virtuous at the time they die can instigate that positive thought. And so that's something important to do whether somebody has dementia or not. Because ordinary people, do we usually... would we naturally remember to generate love and compassion or contemplate the ultimate nature of reality at the time of death? Or are most of us going to be going, I don't want to die! You know? So even with regular beings, we need to, if we're present with somebody when they're dying, remind them of positive actions they did, help them generate a heart of love and kindness. So I would think, you know, that if somebody had dementia and you were able to speak soothing words to them and they could understand something, that some kind of positive mental state could arise at the time of death. But that depends if somebody's there. It depends on who was there and what they're saying. It depends on, you know, what medical procedures are going on at the same time. It depends on if somebody previously had a very strong habitual mind with thinking in a very loving way. But you can see, even with dementia, there's certain, you know, kind of things that habits that come out. One of my friends, his mom had Alzheimer's, and he went to visit her in a home, and of course, you know, she didn't recognize him or anything, but he had brought her some cakes or candies, and he said, "This is just like my mom used to do. She took the present and went around and offered something to somebody, you know." And he said, "This is just my mom's temperament. You know, you have something, then you share it with your friends." So even though she didn't have a clue, really, who had given her this or what was going on, that was her habitual tendency to do, even with Alzheimer's. I thought that was quite sweet. Yeah?
Certain psychologists like Carl Jung talk about like the group consciousness and things like symbols and ideas existing in them. Can you speak on whether karma can play a role in that?
Okay. So the kind of group consciousness that Carl Jung and others speak about, and does karma play a role in that? Buddhists don't really assert a group consciousness. Well, there's one philosophical. Well, no, actually nobody really asserts a group consciousness. Nobody at all. You know, we have among the Buddhists, okay? Because we all have our own individual mind stream. Now, one Buddhist school called the Chittamajans, or mind-only school, they assert a storehouse consciousness which has karmic seeds, okay? And so some people have maybe likened these archetypes as having something to do, you know, maybe with some of the seeds that were planted on this storehouse consciousness. Okay? But then other Buddhist schools, you know, like the one we follow, doesn't assert a storehouse consciousness. We just say, you know, there's different seeds or habits or memories, you know, that carry on. Why do we have certain images that appeal to all of us? Because in a previous life, we all had similar experiences.
Is there a group karma dynamic?
Okay, there is group karma, yeah. In the sense, like right now, we're creating group karma. Okay? We're sitting here as a group doing something together, aren't we? We're creating group karma. So it's nice that, you know, we have a good motivation because we're creating as a group the tendency to experience some kind of happiness again in the future as a group. Yeah. And then the groups, you know, sometimes we find ourselves in various groups or experiencing a result together with many people in a group. Then we have to think, well, in the past, together as a group, we did some sort of action together, and now as a group we're experiencing the result. Yeah. So that's why, you know, in part it's very important to be very cautious and careful about the groups that we participate in, because we create karma together with those people. So I feel this quite strongly, like when I go to teachings by His Holiness the Dalai Lama, you know, there's several thousand people, and I think everybody came here with some sort of good motivation. Whether they're Buddhist or not, somebody came with some kind of good motivation wanting to become a better person. And so here we are together, you know, listening to the teachings together, creating this good, you know, this group karma, which is, you know, good. And within that group karma, of course, we're all still creating our own individual karma because we're having individual thoughts during that and doing our own individual actions. But then, you know, you look at the people who go to football games and are, you know, screaming who knows what. Yeah. I went to USC the first 2 years of college. O.J. Simpson was there at the time. You know what we used to scream? Kill. So the crowd used to scream, you know, kill, kill, O.J., kill, kill. Very interesting, isn't it? Yeah, but you think of, I mean, I think many sports teams, people utter all sorts of incredible violent stuff, don't they? Yeah, so you create some kind of karma, you know, with those people when you're in that situation. Yeah? So it's good to be kind of careful about the groups we participate in. And sometimes we find ourselves in certain groups without much of a choice, but then to be very clear about whether we agree with the purpose of the group or disagree with the purpose of the group, because we accumulate karma based on that as well. Yeah. So for example, you know, we're in Washington State here. Washington State carries out the death penalty. Yeah. Now, does that mean that we all create some bad karma when the government kills somebody? I don't think so. You know, the people who voted for the death penalty, who favored the death penalty, because they rejoice in that, then they would, be involved in the karma of killing. But the people who do not agree with what the government does, they wouldn't create that karma. Okay? Otherwise, it would mean we'd all have to pick up and move to a state that didn't. Yeah? Uh-huh.
Well, in reference to what you just said, is there something you can do with your mind at the time that you're aware of something? Maybe there's a execution going on that you can do to solidify in your own mind stream that you don't agree with that?
Yeah. So is there anything that we can do, for example, at the time an execution's going on, to make very clear in our own mind stream that we don't agree? Yeah, to very clearly say, I do not agree with this. You know, and then if you want to do the taking and giving meditation, yeah, not only for the victim, but also for the perpetrators. And so you can do this whether it's at an execution or whether it's at a crime. Because victim, perpetrator, they just change, you know, merely labels. People change roles all the time. So I think there's one meditation we do in which we imagine taking on the suffering of others and giving them our happiness. And this is a very good meditation to do in difficult situations. Okay. Yeah.
I think I hear from people talking about karma and even in talking agents being venerable, it's about the group and that we're creating karma with the people we're in the group with.
Mm-hmm.
That suggests that we're to some degree separate entities.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly we physically operate in a lot of ways in that way. So a question has come to me from a friend who's had death walk through her life so many times and partner is dying. And I asked her, what's the hard part and about thinking about after he died. And it was clear that what was problem for her was that this valuable being in his personality and his identity with that brain and these histories and this normal life of his would suddenly be dissipated into no personality attached.
Mm-hmm.
At all, as his body re-entered the world, and dispersed in the world, so is his life and who he was, and mm-hmm. and I what would you say to that? I mean, we talk about I had a past life, but what I are we talking about?
Yeah. This is a good question. So you're saying that somebody, you have a friend who has had a lot of death in her life, and what she finds difficult is the fact that the people just aren't there anymore. You know,
that they're erased from consciousness.
Yeah, that they're totally erased because their body no longer exists. From a Buddhist viewpoint, we are not our body. Okay? We are not our body. We label I in dependence upon our body, but we are not our body. Okay? I mean, you can take off our hair and put it there, and we don't say, I'm out there. Okay? So the body is not who we are. Similarly, we are not our mind. We are also labeled in dependence upon the mind. So this whole, you know, like I was saying before, we get so attached to physical things. So we think people are their body, and that once the body disappears, you know, there's no continuity of anything whatsoever. Well, actually, there is a continuity of the body. You know, it gets burnt or recycled in nature in one way or another, so there's some physical continuity. But she's probably thinking more of the mental continuity. And that, you know, we say one moment of clarity and awareness gives rise to another moment and another moment. And so there is that continuity. Yeah. Who the person was this life, that personality, there is no solid personality to continue. Even within one life, we don't see a solid personality that goes from early in life until later in life. Yeah, but there is a continuity of that. But there's no soul or something permanent or fixed there. Okay? Let's sit quietly for a couple of minutes, and then we'll dedicate our virtue, our good karma, setting it in the direction of enlightenment. So for a couple of minutes, just reflect on what you heard and think of how this could apply to your life.